Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, listeners, to City on the Hill Radio Show. We are really, in a way, watching Donald Trump speak in Tennessee. Unfortunately, it's not all over. The media, Fox News, is not airing it. One American News is airing it, and if you've got Facebook, you can also watch it. But I've been trying to watch it, but we're going to go ahead with the show. We had said it. I was thinking that it was going to be through by 7, but he's still on and giving us really great stuff. So, but Ms. Barbara Moore is going to be coming on in a few minutes, and we're going to be talking about the state of the nation and what it means for our future, the children. And we hope that there will be some callers. We hope that people will join us and will call in and give us their input on what is going on. And it's really been a very eventful roller coaster week. I think people that's been watching the Kavanaugh hearings last Thursday was hoping it was going to be over soon. But as always, the Democrats have this penchant for coming up with, unfortunately, untruths and keep the steam rolling in the wrong direction. But this time, they may have bitten off more than they can chew, because from what we're seeing all over the country, on Twitter, on Facebook, the walkaway movement is growing as people are seeing, you know, that unfortunately Democrats are not for their families. They're not for jobs. They're not even for children. They've already proved they're not for babies, but now they're certainly proving with Common Core that they're not even for the children that are out of the womb and are growing up, that they are, in a way, destroying their minds and raising them to be anti-American, just really haters of this nation. So it's a very sad state of affairs, and Trump, were it not for Trump, we would have Hillary Clinton. And Hillary Clinton, unfortunately, was one of those that was praising Margaret Sanger, the one that started Planned Parenthood, and really with the idea of getting rid of a lot of the black babies. So really, the black community are opening their eyes, and they're saying they do not want any of this. And it is timely. Really, we need to be for a party that is for hope, for families, and against a party that is for death and is for the killing of the unborn. And so it's really a matter of death versus life. We see the contrast. So we're just hoping that more people will become aware of what's going on. And while we're hoping for Ms. Barbara Moore to join us, I'm going to go and tell you about a website called HopeInc.tv. HopeInc.tv. It stands for Health Open Path to Excellence. A lot of children are suffering, and this was put together by ministries, organizations of people that are just very much aware of the situation and whose hearts are breaking for the children. But on this HopeInc.tv, there is a tab called Latest News. And when you click on that, you will find a lot of latest news. A lot of it, most of it, is going to be about children. But there's, you know, things in there, too, that are interesting to families. One of the things that is in there right now is, why is the walkaway movement growing? And very simple, it is the Democrats, because of how they have acted at the confirmation hearing. That is one of the things that is helping it to go, along with things like, unfortunately, you know, the breakdown of the family, as we see in Chicago. In Chicago, they have really, their policies, the Democrat policy, fortunately, have hindered, or rather destroyed, the family. It's almost like Chicago was an experiment. Unfortunately, it was a failed experiment of how to educate children. I remember Linda Darling Hammond is one of those that were there educating children. And sadly, the failed education that she did was moved to California, and it failed there too, if you'll Google Linda Darling Hammond. And then it was unfortunately, oh, hold on for a moment. And then it was put on to for the rest of the country. She was out in Texas. Texas had said they do not want Common Core back in 2010. But lo and behold, she was there. She was there in Texas underneath the radar, really influencing teachers. So here we are. We're joined in with Ms. Barbara Moore, and we're going to get started. And City on the Hill is on the air with Ms. Barbara Moore. Hi, Ms. Barbara.
Hey, Diana. How are you this evening?
I am well, thank you. It's so good to hear from you, Ms. Barbara. I have been doing a monologue. So, for what
well,
good it
okay.
is, but it's all.
I'm sure
but
it's
if you don't mind, Ms. Barbara. Well, hopefully, there's a lot of information to put out there, but if you don't mind, Ms. Barbara, would you start us off with a prayer and some food for thought, if you'd like?
Well, I would love to, Diana, and, you know, as I was thinking about the show, City on a Hill, I was thinking how we've always covered it in prayer from the very beginning, and you have been most steadfast in prayer, Diana, and I just thank you for that. We've had the opportunity to pray with so many people over the years, and what a blessing that has been. And it's the only way to do it. Let me just say that it is the only way to do it, and I'm just so grateful. So let's pray. Thank you, Father. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And we are so grateful, Lord, that we have access to you, that you desire to hear from us, Father. You desire for us to come together to you, Lord, and to not only make our requests known to you, Father, but just to be with you and share time together with you. We thank you, Father. Nothing can substitute for that in our lives, that you, O Lord, are when we are in your presence, Father, in prayer and in your word, Lord, there's no one like you. Nothing can compare with being with you. In your presence is joy forevermore, your word tells us, and it is true. But Father, we're so grateful that you want to be with us, that you want us, Lord, and you want to hear from us, and you want to be with us. And our desire is to be with you, Father, and to please you. Father, we bring this radio show to you, Lord. We thank you for the many years of being with us in this and through this. Father, anything that we do has no value without you, but with you, it has tremendous value and worth. And we are grateful, O God. Father, we lift up our country to you. We pray, Father, we continue to pray, Lord, that your people, the people of God, the Christians in this country, Father, would have a love of the truth, that we would not be easily deceived. I pray, Father, that your people, Father, would be in your word and would develop a biblical worldview so that our standards, that your standards would be our standards, Lord, and that we would use that to evaluate all issues, everything in our world, that we would use your word, your truth as our standard and not what is passing for standards these days in our country. Father, we pray for a revival of truth. A revival of the love of truth. Father, we pray for Judge Brett Kavanaugh. Lord, we continue to pray for him. We pray, Father, you would be his shield and his exceeding great reward, as you said to Abraham. Father, we pray for his family. We pray a covering, a hedge of protection round about them, Father. They've been so wounded, so hurt, so terribly hurt. Father, I pray the balm of Gilead for their wounds, to heal their wounds. And Father, that I pray that they'll feel your presence and know the prayers of so many, not only Americans, Father, but people all over the world, people, righteous people, people of goodwill, people who recognize decency and honor and that which is noble and true. They recognize that, Father, and they are in prayer for Judge Kavanaugh and his family. And Father, we pray for him to be confirmed and to sit on the United States Supreme Court. And Father, we just pray for our time now, that you would have your way, Father, with us, and be that mighty voice, that strong voice, Lord, and the still small voice as well, Lord. And we love you very much. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to be with you and to be with each other and then others who are listening in. In Jesus' powerful and precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Miss Barbara. Oh, I always love it when you pray. And it is the foundation of the show, because I think I'm reminded really of the start of this nation, which is, you know, how God honored the prayers of men and women, parents. And really that's what we're about. Stop Common Core movement is really about parents trying to do their best for these precious children and grandparents too, because they are the future and they're innocent and they are our responsibility, not the government, but our responsibility. So
that's right.
With that in mind, Ms. Barbara, you know, watching President Trump, you know, I know there's a lot of people that wants this and that done, that wants him to do this and wants him to do that. But to me, I'm thinking to myself, you know, we've got to stand behind him, even if there's things that we don't agree with. I know there was a lot of Never Trumpers that was so steadfast because he was such a terrible candidate to many people because of the things that he said. But really, when you look at the action of the man, you can't help but think, you know, this man is full of good action. He's not just really a sayer or a talker. He actually, you know, does a lot of things, I think, quite contrary to what people would think, with just his action. I think the first action he took that was contrary to what everybody was thinking is he gave of his own money so he could help.
There's nobody like him. He is the man that God has chosen to lead our country. You know, the Bible says that promotion comes not from the south, the east, the west. No, promotion comes from on high, from God himself. And he was an unlikely person to become president. He has brought about such amazing changes for the good in the very short period that he has been our president. And I support him 100%.
Oh, I'm with you, Miss Barbara. And I think for anybody right now to be really going against the president in any fashion is not thinking right, because right now the man is under attack. And really, it's not just him. The whole country is really under attack, you know.
Absolutely.
And so I think this is a time to unite with the president. And whatever you think the president's not doing for you, I think let's get real. Let's give him time. He's got to be able to breathe
first. Let's get back to the basics. Let's get back to the Constitution. And what the Constitution says is his responsibility and his power. It's right there for all of us to see. Diana, I'm so sorry. My little puppy's just on guard for some reason here. And you can hear
okay.
That little bear in the background.
It's either children or it's puppies.
But anyway, it's, you know, what are we looking to the president to do for us? Well, it better be within the confines of the Constitution or it's not right. So let's get back to Article 2. And unfortunately, I don't have it in front of me or I would point out some things. But one of the things that he has a responsibility and the authority to do is to select his own people for the Supreme Court and for the, different positions in his different cabinet positions and so forth. And of course, that is with the advising consent of the Senate. But up until recent years, that was done automatically, fairly automatically, you know, with respect to the president and his selection for those positions. So that has changed in recent years as standards have changed in our country. The standards, what the Democrats are looking for in a Supreme Court candidate is not constitutional. You know, they're looking for activist judges who will judge on social issues, social justice, you know, all of these so-called rights that have sprung into being in their minds and hearts, and they want to change America into the image that they choose. And they want a Supreme Court justice to mirror that and lead in that. And so they're not going to be satisfied with a constitutional scholar of, my, what a resume this man has. And
indeed, so, Ms. Barbara. And I think, you know, they were saying too that, you know, really he's moderate compared to the ones behind him. And I'm thinking, if he was a moderate after the treatment he got, I think we're going to have the staunchest defender of rights because he saw himself. You know, he was one that knew the law, knows how to act under the law. And I think he's always tried to live his life under the law, doing what is right, and to see yourself so flogged unnecessarily, and your family, in essence, just trashed before your eyes, Miss Barbara, I think he's going to be our knight in shining armor.
I believe that too, Diana. You know, in the confirmation hearings, I listened to them as much as I could. And I loved listening to him talk about the rule of law, listening to him talk about Tushin with the separation of powers, and the goal always being the liberty of the individual, each American individual. You know, the law protects our God-given rights, not made-up rights, like the Democrats want to make up rights. But our God-given rights to life, liberty, and property, and the protection of property, and so forth, our intellectual property, and all of that. But anyway, it was music to my ears listening to him speak, and his knowledge. It reminded me of Judge Moore, Judge Roy Moore. His knowledge was so deep and so broad, and I love it. I loved it when he would bring in examples from history, you know, not just American history, but going way back, you know. It was just so delightful. And, you know, such an impressive and yet humble man with all that knowledge and all that scholar, you know. And of course, that also reminded me of Judge Roy Moore, whom we dearly love, appreciate, and admire. And but to trash a man like that, just unconscionable.
And Ms. Barbara, I'm thinking to myself too. You know, the Democrats, I'm thinking, has overplayed their hand because people were concerned. But, you know, when you're so busy making money and doing everything you need to do for your family, you can get distracted. And I think the Kavanaugh hearing
The Kavanaugh hearings, I think, gained such a national attention that people that might have been thinking, oh, this is a sure deal for my state anyway. I'm not going to, you know, sweat this out, you know. I got to work. I got to do this. I think after they saw how this family, innocent family, got treated, and I loved his story about his daughter that was raised to love others, even their enemies, that she would pray for them. I think that the common person was so moved that I'm thinking there's going to be a lot of common person that's going to rise up and say, you know, you can't do this. It's like you're going to do that to me. I mean, what you're doing to this
that's
man
right.
who's got power and
no
and
safe.
All this behind him.
Yeah,
you can do that to me and not bat an eye.
If you can do that to an individual of such stature and such experience, who is safe? There's no one safe if you can do that to someone and like that. It's
well, the founding fathers never intended it to be like that. I mean, it's like you said, she held it. The information was held from this committee by Feinstein on purpose. So I know I hear that the Republicans trying to play nice and talk nice. We want to give you, you know, a chance to do this. But I'm thinking she really wasn't owed anything. I don't think any of them was owed anything for the way that they, turned this as a travesty.
No. No, it was a travesty to bring her before the Senate committee was a travesty to me. That was just horrible, and to have these things said in public like that, the way she read. I saw a little blip on Facebook. A child was asked, maybe not a child, maybe someone older than child, but was asked, "Do you believe her?" And the response was, well, why did she have to read if it was the truth? Why couldn't she just tell it? Why did she have to read it? But anyway, you know. Nonetheless.
Yeah.
But, you know, backing up just for a minute, back to the confirmation hearings. Okay, every one of those senators sat in there, every one of those Democrats sat in there, and they listened to this man. They heard the same things that we did. But you know what, Diana? That's not a priority. Those upholding the Constitution and understanding the Constitution and defending the Constitution and the rule of law in our land, which makes us unique among the powers of the earth, that's not their thing. That is not their standard. They don't have a reverence for it. As we've witnessed, that they could take someone who does and trash him and trash his family and the fact that he would just be such a justice on the Supreme Court, such a fair, going back to his background, his experience, his cases, and so forth, testimony after testimony showing what a fair and good and righteous man that he is. They didn't care for that. That was not that's not their standard. They have a different standard, and I think we've got to realize that. You know, totally different standard. Their values are not our values. Our values are not their values. And so,
oh my goodness,
I mean, it's
so right, Ms. Barber.
No wonder we can't agree. Yeah.
Ms. Barber, have you seen the video by Candace Owens about, she was talking about Emmett Till, the little 14-year-old that was, that because of a woman's testimony, credible testimony, a 14-year-old Emmett Till was lynched. Did you get to hear her on that one?
I did not.
It was very moving. You know, Candace is really just a wonderful speaker. She's so smart. But I'm thinking, Ms. Barber, I mean, I think that, again, another thing where I think the Democrats have overplayed their hand is how dare they forget the fact that that is what exactly we came from. We want to get away from that.
Yeah.
And I think they just hurt themselves in the Black community because that was like a slap in the face, which they've been doing this for a while, the Me Too movement. But I'm thinking it's like people, when they see what Candace did, it's like a slap in the face if you're a Black person.
Yeah. Well, I need to watch that. I have not watched that. Having a bit of computer problems here. So.
Okay. Yeah, I've noticed that. But I'm glad you're on. But Ms. Barbara, again, if we just remember what you're so, what you have taught students, pretty much, the more you know history, the more you love God. And I think because in your story, you show everything. And you pretty much show how the common person who, in spite of the evil of this world, really, it's like, you have said it before, with God, you're a majority. And I think that is the history of America. And we see that with slavery. I mean, I remember us going to Washington, D.C., and we were told and given a document where Benjamin Franklin knew it was not biblical, and he was trying his best, to do something because he knew that slavery was wrong. And you remember how you cherished that document, Ms. Barbara, that was given to us?
Yes, absolutely. And Benjamin Franklin wasn't the only one, but he was in the very first Congress of the United States of America under the U.S. Constitution. He introduced a resolution, and that resolution was for the abolishment of slavery. And he goes into the whys and the wherefores in that resolution, which is very beautiful. He always opposed slavery. The founding fathers, so many of them opposed slavery and did what they could. They actually wrote into the Constitution that in 1808, okay, so you have the Constitution that was ratified in 1789, okay. So in 1808, then there could be laws passed to prohibit importation of slaves as a first step to the abolishment of slavery. There were different steps along the way. Interestingly enough, Diana, years before that, Thomas Jefferson, who was a slave owner in Virginia, he inherited his position, but he wrote a quite lengthy plan for emancipation of slaves. And in that plan, he did it step by step, each year, going to younger and younger people being freed. It was a very orderly plan. It included education for all slaves, along with emancipation. And I don't know why it was not acted upon. I think it was introduced into the Virginia legislature, but I believe that at that time there were other laws in place prohibiting emancipation. But if I'm not mistaken, Jefferson was also a member of an abolitionist society. There were so many abolitionist society, not only in the North, but in the South as well. And I believe he was a part of that. Lafayette, like a son to George Washington, the Frenchman, he was called the Knight of Liberty, came from France, sailed from France to help us win our freedom, and he did. But Lafayette worked with George Washington to have a place, I believe it was in South America, a place of freedom and education for those who were emancipated, who wanted to go there to learn skills and to be educated and to live in freedom. So there were a lot of things going on. You mentioned Ben Franklin. What an advocate for freedom. And he, of course, was a part of the abolitionist society. So, you know, we just don't know a lot about our history. We really don't.
No, and the Democrat Party, it's changed so much. And but really, when you look at the history, you know, it's really very dark, and it's almost like what we've seen put before us as the party that cares really hasn't cared in a very long time. So I think more people are waking up, and the Democrats really did this to themselves. But then it is right, because as we have seen ourselves, and that's why every state now has a Stop Common Core movement, is because what parents and grandparents have found when we've researched, and Common Core's been here since 2010, but it's been here longer. You've been fighting it. It's a different format.
Yeah.
But now there's more money because of the grant money, the Race to the Top grant money that was used to make every state give up their standards even before the standards were drafted. And, you know, it was called Got to Make Your College and Career Ready, and it hadn't even been tested because they weren't even finished, you know. But that, it was a big fat lie. But really, when you look at the history, and Accuracy in Media has an article that really just woke us up, and it was by Mary Graybar. Well, she talks about one of the first people to come to the White House was Bill Ayers, a known terrorist, you know, and the Weather Underground. And he was a crony Obama, and they were plotting back then on how to change this nation. And so when we see today the college students, the Antifa groups that's developed out of these college, and we see these we see the socialist Democrat you know, they're trying to call on teachers to go to for the young people to go into the teaching field so that they can make change, a militant change in our school systems. And they're not just talking about colleges. But this is why we're kind of very much wanting to be heard and be seen, because they all want to change this country, and they're trying to do it through the children that are, you know, the parents' responsibility to raise, that are being changed.
You know, Diana, they've been in charge of education for so long. And what we saw in the Senate, those senators, the mean-spirited, cruel attackers, and the things that they would say, you know, that's what our children are being trained up to be, social-emotional learners, to be manipulated, you know, like the snowflakes, the college kids, and the young people who are who have not been taught truth about socialism, communism, capitalism, and they've not been taught truth about it. They don't know how to think logically. Facts. You see how the Democrats play upon the emotions, and but are lacking in facts, because facts don't mean a lot to them. And if I sound like I'm being hard on Democrats, you betcha I am. What I have witnessed in just recently with this confirmation hearing, it absolutely is over the top. And, you know, Democrats have been they have hurt women in this country more than any other group. They have hurt women in so many different ways, whether it was back in Democrat Lyndon Johnson's Great Society movement, along with the Elementary and Secondary Education Act that he instituted, which turned our education in a downward decline, or whether it was the subsidizing immorality, subsidizing women having sex with men of a transitory nature, not you know, paying for every child that they had out of wedlock, creating and perpetuating immorality where women and children would be hurt, and all of that. in addition to that, the Democrats were the ones that pushed the no-fault divorce, which has hurt women because it didn't, under the previous laws before no-fault divorce, women were protected, and if and they were they had to be helped by their husbands. But in the no-fault divorce case, the women and children left behind, you know, and no protection. So Democrats have been the ones who have perpetuated the immorality in our country. They're pushing transgenderism. They're pushing promiscuity, abortion, and so on, and teaching children in our schools to do very immoral acts. And so, you know, I mean, these are just a few of the things that I've observed.
Oh, Ms. Barbara, I just talked today to Ms. Junie Smith, you know, Eagle Forum, and they had the Dr. Cotella talk about the suicide rates. And so I'm going to watch that. They had their National Eagle Forum meeting this past weekend. So I think she said it's going to be, you know, uploaded soon. So we need to watch that. But, you know, one of our largest concerns, because I know that God watches, and he said in his word, it's better to hang a millstone around our neck and be thrown to the deepest part of the sea than to lead the little ones to stumble. Well, when you're turning things around in school where children would rather die than live, something is very wrong with that ed system. And so we're coming across, and we're doing this not for ourselves. It's a lot of time, it's a lot of effort, and there's mothers and fathers all across the country fighting this thing. We need more people to know about it. It's because your child doesn't need to fight alone. You need to know, when you see the increase in bullying, as our friend Joan Landis, a mental health expert, and she's got something that people's got to check out. It was on that blog talk last week, Ms. Barbara. She was talking about Resilified, how to help your children through this time, you know, when it's so hard for them to bear what's going on in schools. But
yeah,
it is just the suicide rate is an epidemic, and it is a national sin. I mean, we are talking about, you know, where it's the Democrats have found a way to destroy children in the womb, but even out of the womb, they have colluded and orchestrated events that there's more rebellion, there's more bullying, and the bullying is really an outside react. It's an reaction to the high stress testing, to what they're being told in schools. You know, I mean, kids can't even take a break. And Ms. Barbara, you're a teacher. You know that children's got to have breaks. You can't expect them to sit still. I mean, this is such an unnatural thing for children to be taught this way. And we've come a long way from the math that sent men to the moon to really making them so repressed that they can no longer learn. They can't even get change at McDonald's. It has gotten so bad in our ed system.
Yes, it has, Diana. And it is there's so much darkness in their reading material, in the pressure that they experience in school. Pressure. Instead of a natural learning environment where where they blossom, where they unfold, they're unfolded, you know, like a flower blossoming from a bud to a full bloom flower, you know, and that takes time, and it takes understanding, it takes, you know, knowledge, of course, and but there's a natural process of learning, and it can't be just forced and pressured. It's like a pressure cooker in there that they've got to go so fast, and they got to get ready for this test and for that test, and you have to learn this and you have to learn that. Some places they're not even doing recess anymore, so the kids don't even get a break. But the content of what kids are experiencing, it's not a content of hope and inspiration as well as information as it has been in the past. It's the absolute opposite of that. It's a put down of families, of our country, of traditional values and leads to despair, discouragement, confusion, and yes, suicide.
And I think, you know, Ms. Barbara, it's kind of like, it's, you know, I think about what we allowed here in Alabama to happen with Doug Jones and the people that voted for him and preferred him over an impeccable man that, like,
yeah.
Judge Moore. It's like, you know, our friend Tor Townsend
yeah.
said, you know, they played a magic trick in Alabama in that, you know, we were told that we would prefer a man like Doug Jones over a man like Judge Moore because of a 40-year,
yeah.
you know, action. And here we are, is the same plot, you know, played out
yeah.
nationally. And with Judge
well, they
Moore,
saw it work.
If he was...
They saw it work.
They
with
thought
Judge
it worked.
Moore,
you're
that
right.
He was taken out of the race, and they were successful with the false accusations and the smear campaign. So they went with what works with Judge Kavanaugh, and they pulled this out of the ditch.
Oh, indeed, Ms. Barbara. I think, but I'm hoping they have overplayed the hand, and I am encouraged because I am seeing Democrats. It's like they've had enough. I mean, I see these posting about the tax cuts that Democrats are going to present, you know, and I'm thinking tax cuts. I mean, not tax cuts, the tax, I guess, the
raising
taxes.
Yeah, raising taxes.
And I'm thinking
yeah,
they're
they
so
want to raise
opposite
taxes.
Of what people want.
Yeah.
And it's like they're not listening. They're not listening to what people. And then when they prefer illegal immigrants, and, you know, in spite of the harm that they're seeing, a lot of the illegal immigration is doing to innocent people, is like they prefer other people beside their own citizens. So it's like preferring others besides, I mean, you know, besides your family. I mean, we are your family, but you're not going to keep your family safe.
But they're even exploiting the illegals. Their goal is to have more votes for Democrats so they'll have more power. And, you know, and also it's a way to, I don't know how to say this, using the illegal aliens and like they're standing up for them. Because they're victims. See, everything is topsy-turvy now. The standards that were in America before, where it was a privilege to come to America, it was a privilege to become an American citizen, and it required work, it required desire to learn the language, to be a contributor to the country, that you could offer something to the country by coming here, the skills that were needed or whatever, and become a part of this wonderful, William Penn said, a holy experiment, you know. But that's not what the Democrats are all about. They're using everybody they can use for their own purposes, and that has nothing to do with helping anybody but themselves. That's my take on it.
Very sad, Ms. Barbara. Well, we are almost out of time. We got started late because Donald Trump, thank God, went to Tennessee to try to help Marsha Blackburn and Tennessee, and I think they said there were 92,000 tickets. Ms. Barbara, people, I mean, that's the largest, I think, amount of tickets that were, you know,
wow.
asked for. And so, you know,
I just love those rallies. Those rallies are so great, you know, and just celebrating America. And people who come to the rallies are just real Americans who love our country and who want our country to do well, who want our president to do well. And Marsha Blackburn, I've had the privilege of meeting her several times and listening to her speak. She addressed a group of young people that I was helping to sponsor legislative days and so forth in Washington. And she's a wonderful Christian woman. and fiery and spunky. She's she's courageous, and I am so glad that she is going to be in our Senate. I am just really thrilled that she took that step. She's been in the House for many years, and now she's going to be in the Senate. I do believe she will be elected, and I'm not surprised that President Trump is there to support her all the way. And it's, you know, we are going to have some good people in Washington.
And Ms. Barbara, she is anti-Common Core. You know, she said it and stood with us and parents. And that's what it's going to take, you know, is for, we need more of her, people like her.
Yeah.
So this election is really, I think if people get mad enough, and I think they are, because there's something that you're seeing there with a common man, you know, when you hear the story of Kavanaugh with a child, I think most parents' heart breaks. You know, it shouldn't go through this way. You can lambast me all you want, but don't. They could have done this behind the scenes without all this torture to his family. But they chose chose to make a spectacle. And so I'm hoping that will resonate. Yeah, that will resonate with
and
the parents that, you know, they don't mind doing this. And by the way, go
by
ahead.
By the way, I do not find that woman credible. I did not find her testimony credible. I don't find her credible. I think she has some serious mental problems.
I think you are so right. Everybody, when there's no corroboration, I mean, it's going back to that little 14-year-old that was lynched, Emmett Till, because a woman who had credible testimony was believable. We've come a long way from that. We cannot go back to that past, or we destroy people because of somebody's, great acting ability or whatever. There's no corroboration. I mean, that's insane. And I think we still have sanity. We need to do something with this and just stop what the Democrats are doing. And we stop them really by coming out in droves and voting rightly on this next election. So we pray that Kavanaugh will be the one. But I think no matter what, Ms. Barbara, I think they have unleashed something that they're just not going to know until election day, you know, what has transpired.
Well, are you saying that they have laid a trap that they're going to be caught in themselves? You say they've overplayed their hand.
I think
you were right, Diana. Oh, I pray
so.
I think their picture of who they really are, you know, the thing, why can't Jeff Flake see that? Why can't he see who they are and what they're all about? Isn't that puzzling? To hear we at home, we can watch it, we can see it, and recognize the truth. And yet, he actually said that he wanted to be so bipartisan that he went and was on a desert island with a Democrat. I've forgotten the man's name he was with. He admitted that on national TV.
I think he's been brainwashed, Ms. Barbara. I mean, it's sad because he holds so much power. He's got the power to do good or to do evil. And he's really, by being blind and not doing what he was elected to do, I love what the Founding Fathers were reminded of. Choose you men that fear God. And there's a good reason that they said that they believed in that, because if you don't believe in God, you're going to believe yourself as the arbiter of everything that is right. And you're not. You're just a person.
And not only
fallen.
If you do not believe in God, you do not believe that you will be one day held accountable for your actions here. That was something the Founding Fathers believed in so strongly. You know, there it is a time to die once and then cometh the judgment, the Bible says.
And they knew that they would have to give an account thing they did that affected other people here on this earth. And but you don't believe
Barbara,
that?
Let me go ahead.
Well, oh, no.
Let me go ahead and mention HopeInc.tv. We want people to go to HopeInc.tv, the website, and hear more. And we're going to have, as time permits and as our schedule permits, we're going to be seeing them hopefully next Monday. Right, Miss Barbara? Hopefully, without computer problems.
Oh, yes, hopefully. And let me also say one other thing. If you will go to barbaraonamerica.blog.com, there is a prayer for Judge Brett Kavanaugh and for our nation on there. And there have been about 350 people that are praying that Psalm 31 that's in that prayer for him and his family. So you can go there and see it and pray along with us, Psalm 31 for Judge Brett Kavanaugh.
Thank you, Ms. Barbara. Yeah, I've seen it posted, and it's great. And, yes, we need to pray, and that is an awesome prayer. And God is sovereign, and I don't think this was unknown to God, not at all. And so I think the Democrats thought they were so smart, but I think God is going to have mercy upon us. We needed a wake-up call. And as bad as it was for the Kavanaugh family, and I hate that, I think God's going to use what's been done to them for good. And it will save children, because I think with a new Congress and with a man such as Kavanaugh and a new Congress come November, that's what it's going to take. My people perish for lack of knowledge, and because they have rejected my knowledge, I will also forget their children. I think we, as parents and grandparents, have a chance to put in people that really have a fear of God. Right, Ms. Barbara?
That's right, Diana. I appreciate you so much, and I have loved talking with you tonight, listening to you, and your take on everything. It's just a real pleasure. And when we get to the end of the program, would you like to close us out in prayer?
Oh, yes, I will. Is there anything in history that you'd like for them to remember? Because I always love your take on history, something for them to study or anything.
Well, the only thing I would say would be that when we look back throughout our history, we see that when we've been in some really, really hard places, that when we fall on our knees and we come before our Lord and our God and ask for mercy, ask for forgiveness. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. We've been there many times, and God has been so faithful to us, and that can be such an encouragement to us to pray. To pray and pray and pray.
We're always loved to ask God for a word, and I like to do it the way that Ann Graham Lotz does it. She just lets the Holy Spirit lead her, and she said there's nothing like it. Okay, and I am in 2 Kings, where it's got chapter 23, Josiah destroys idol worship. Okay. Josiah had a close relationship, personal relationship with God. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Heavenly Father, for you are good. And your love endures forever. And you would that we wayward people would just turn, Lord. Turn to you. You said abide in you, and you will abide in us. And Lord, we know that the best place to be is to be with you, and that's why you tell us to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, Lord, because when we do that, we will realize what to do that's right. That's right not just for ourselves, but for fellow men. That's right for children. And right now, Lord, we come before you asking for mercy for, Lord, precious families, precious children. There's precious children, Lord, so sadly, broken, are seeing children choose to die rather than live. We know life is hard, Lord. We as adults know that life is hard. But, Lord, these young little children, Lord, even too young, are considering the unthinkable, and that is not right. That is not the way it has been. As Joan Landis is told that's not the way it's been, but something has changed and it's in our education system, Lord. We ask that you help parents to recognize the problem. We ask that you help them to be outspoken. We ask that you help them to be studious. We ask that you help them to remove the idols that they have in their lives, Lord, whether it be the Democratic Party or whether it be something else, Lord. They would remove those from their life and that they would look instead at their children, Lord, that they love more than life itself and say, ask you for help. Say, Lord, show me what to do. Show me how to turn my child from being a drug addict. Show me how to turn my child in from being a sexual predator. Show me how to turn my child from being led to become gang members. Show me how to lead my child to become a wonderful young person that they know that person is, Lord. But because of the pressure in school and the peer pressure, Lord, help parents open eyes that when they see the child that's acting like a bully, that they would recognize there's something else going on, that that child is hurting. Help them not to just condemn the bully, but help them to find out what is making him a bully or her a bully. And, Lord, and when they see the sexual predator, that they would also see what is it that's making that child become this way. And Lord, we ask that, first of all, that they would pray and ask you for wisdom, because you are the giver of wisdom, and that they would ask you for mercy. And Lord, we ask that for teachers that are being enslaved, Lord, because of their fear for their jobs, to allow these children, Lord, to be indoctrinated, to allow these children to go in the wrong way. Or Lord, there's teachers that have been brainwashed and thinks this is the right way, that there's nothing wrong. We pray that you would open their eyes, Lord. We pray that you would set at liberty, Lord, these teachers that have been bound up by, Lord, these bureaucrats in education, Lord, that are really there, Lord, to lead a militant army, to change children, Lord. And Heavenly Father, we ask that you allow the Holy Spirit, Lord, to speak to parents, grandparents all across this nation and the world, and to stand in the gap for their precious children. And it starts with giving them to you in prayer. Lord, we just lift up these parents to you and the children, that they would come to know you if they don't know you, and that they would love you with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and it would make the difference, Lord, for life versus death for eternity. And Lord, we just thank you so much, Lord. Bless our president. Bless those godly, Lord, people that's running for positions in Congress to do what's right and pleasing in your sight. And Lord, we ask that those that have been Democrats, that they would open their eyes, Lord, that you would break the chain of bondage, Lord, that have tied them generational-wise, Lord, to the Democratic Party, who is now, Lord, a party of death. And Lord, we ask that you lead them, that you encourage them and give them, Lord, boldness and courage, Lord, for such a time as this. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, very good, Diana. Thank you for this evening. And we pray that the Lord will bless all those who hear this message and that it would be uplifting to them and helpful.
Yes, and we pray that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Ms. Barbara. Good night, everyone. HopeInc.tv. Go to that website and watch the videos. God bless you.
Good night.